Reading from the Narada Bhakti Sutras. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Talakshanani Vachyante Nana Mata Vedat. Now the characteristics of devotional service will be described according to various authoritative opinions. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23, Prahlad Maharaj very clearly states what the essential activities of devotional service are. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasya, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. Devotional service consists of hearing about the Lord, chanting His glories, remembering Him, serving and meditating upon His lotus feet, worshiping Him, praying to Him, thinking oneself His eternal servant, becoming His friend, and surrendering everything to Him. One should surrender to the Lord as much as an animal purchased from the market surrenders to its master. Such an animal never thinks of his maintenance because he knows that his master will look after him. A soul totally surrendered to the Supreme Lord is similarly never anxious for his maintenance. Srila Sanatana Goswami gives further symptoms of full surrender in his Hari Bhakti Vilas. Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjana. The six symptoms of surrender are accepting things favorable to devotional service, rejecting unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give protection, accepting the Lord as one's guardian or master, full self-surrender and humility. Narada will gradually explain these principles in the remaining sutras. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam. One second, I'll be right back. I have to find out who it is. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasude Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Washington, D.C. I'm staying at Henry's house, which is a nice respite from a very intense course that we taught this weekend. I talked about it Sunday morning, which is a 15-hour bhakti seminar. And you could see the principle of bhakti operating. The principle of bhakti begins with, well, what does bhakti mean? It means intention to please, devotional service, love or devotion. That's the principle of devotional service. Um, surrender Ishvara Pranidhan. You surrender to the Supreme. You offer your consciousness to the Supreme. That's the principle of devotional service. And it is the antithesis of material consciousness. Material consciousness means that somehow or other, you don't want to be what you are. Prabhupada sometimes said the perfectional state of the living entity is called a devotee. So when you don't want to be what you are, your desire can only be fulfilled in the illusion of what you're not. Therefore in Bhagavad Gita it says, Daivyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharatya Mam Eva Ye Papadyante Mayam Etam Tarantite, that the energy that keeps us bonded in matter, that reflects our consciousness on matter. What is matter? Matter is the facility that one gets when one doesn't want to be a particle, a part of God, doesn't want to be a part, doesn't want to be a servant, doesn't want to be a devotee. So the consciousness is reflected on matter. A matter gives one the illusory conception that I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. The illusory conception that I am in the center. So that's what the body and that's what attachment, the consciousness is reflected there to fulfill a certain desire to not be a devotee. So the solution to material existence is to change the consciousness that caused material existence. Rather than be averse, because when you're to God, when you're averse to God, then you're averse to also what you are, because we're parts of God. Just like when you're averse to the sun, you are averse also. If you're averse to the sun, which gives light, if you're averse to the sun, then you also can't see yourself. So if you're averse to the reality, you can't see your reality. If you're averse to God, then you can't see yourself as a servant of God. So, bhakti or devotion is the abhideya. Abhideya means the means to realize the absolute reality. There are three aspects of philosophy. One is called sambandha. Basically, every philosophy must have a description of reality. There's abhideya, there's the means to realize that reality. And then there's pyojana, there's the result of doing so. So the conception of bhakti is that the ultimate reality is God and God's energies, which is a reality filled with the exchange of those energies or love. Just like when Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedas, when he was trying to actually realize the Vedas deeply so that he could appropriately communicate them to the people of today, the people of the Kali Yuga, who didn't have such a frame of reference and a capacity to do so, And when he... So what did he do? This is... What did he do? He focused his consciousness on the divine. Perhaps he just chanted the names of the divine. Because what happens is when you focus your consciousness on something of which you have a natural relationship with, your sense of that relationship comes from your heart, which is the spirit of love or service. That is the spirit or nature of the soul, because we're part of the absolute reality. And as we have a relationship with the absolute reality, then the dharma or the nature of the soul is devotion or love or to serve or to please. And when you do that, you see the absolute reality, because you take away the covering that is blinding us to the absolute reality, which is our aversion or hate of the absolute reality. So what happened when Vyasadeva wanted to communicate the absolute reality, wanted to know the absolute reality? Bhakti yogena manasi. His mind was engaged in bhakti yoga. His mind was engaged in focusing on the absolute reality and feeling the absolute reality, and therefore feeling himself, which is a part of the absolute reality meant for service. That's the process of bhakti. Bhakti is the sense of the soul, and bhakti is the means of realizing the sense of the soul, which can't be disconnected from realizing the divine. So focusing, so Vyasadeva, wanting to explain the absolute reality, which is called the Vedas. The Vedas is a description of what exists. He focused his mind in bhakti yoga. And what happens when you do that? You feel and understand the absolute reality. Just like when you do mantra meditation, there's one way of focusing on the holy name is to understand that God's names are Shabda Brahman. God's names are the divine in sound. And when you focus your consciousness on the divine in sound, then you feel your relationship with the absolute reality. And what is feeling your relationship with the absolute reality? It's experiencing what you are. So bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranayate male. Completely focused. Samyak pranayate male, without any other distraction. And then what did he see? Maya chuptad apasayam. He saw that God was not a product of illusion, but rather illusion was an energy of God to serve those who wanted to be covered from God, covered from the fact that they are not God, covered from the fact that they're not the servant of God, and put into the illusion that they're separate and independent gods. just like Gopinath Bhattacharya. And his brother-in-law was a great scholar, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did not recognize the divinity of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself. So his brother-in-law, so Gopinath Acharya chastised his brother-in-law. Although the Supreme Lord is standing before you, you cannot see him because you think of yourself as a separate and independent God. So that is the consciousness, the illusory conception and the illusory feeling that keeps us bonded in this world. Bhakti is antithetical to that. It's the strong desire to love and to please, to serve, which reveals our nature or essence for what it actually is, a part of God and meant for service. So here the Yoga Sutras begins. Now we're going to describe bhakti. Now we're going to describe the process to realize the absolute reality and thus realize ourselves in truth, which is self-realization. And then the nature of that bhakti was described. It's that intention, that pure intention, that topmost intention, that topmost desire, that topmost love, parama prem, to serve God. Which is not a practice to achieve anything else, but it's actually the eternal nature of the living entity. What is the proper understanding to practice bhakti? Well, you understand that there's God, there's spirit, and there's matter. And you realize the interrelationship between those three factors, and therefore you understand reality. So you understand that the soul is not, you realize that the soul is not the body, but just is identifying with the body, because the body gives one the reflected conception that they're God. And therefore, you also realize that the soul is not God, and you realize also that God is not a product of matter. And when you actually realize bhakti and you realize your nature, that's the perfected or pure state. That's the goal. There's the absolute reality, which we don't see because we don't want to see. But when we embrace the absolute reality and focus our consciousness on the absolute reality, which is bhakti, then the absolute reality is revealed. And that's priyojana. That you actually see the divine, you see God everywhere, and you feel it everywhere. And that's actually the pure consciousness of the living entity. That's the eternal consciousness of the living entity. And And that's what actually satisfies us on many levels. And when you have that in your heart, then you don't engage madly in the pursuit to fill the heart up with so many other things which don't actually satisfy that hankering and need of the soul. It's just like if someone had a pain in the heart and they were actually dying of hunger, but somehow or other they thought that the problem was that they needed a car. Actually, on Sunday, on one of the days in our seminar, we went to the Bhakti, the Radha Govinda Mandir, and Chitta Gopi gave a very simple example that there's sometimes a hole in the heart, analogous to the need in the heart. And that need in the heart has a particular shape, and that shape is devotion, and what's missing is the divine. And the only thing that will satisfy it is the form of the hole, that the object that has the shape of the hole that is missing. Like a child who puts little things in little holes, and he tries to put a square hole in a round peg in a square peg in a round hole. And then the goal is, once you fully realize this, you become blissful because you are in you're feeling fully that relationship, which is prema. Now, the verse we discussed today, and we'll continue from there, somehow that's where I'm going, is that now it's going to define what this devotion is and how it manifests. Different understandings about it. So someone says it's anurag puja. It's worship, but it's worship that has a, it's not just a activity, but it's a mood of pleasure. That's called anurag. One actually has a desire to please. And it's fondness, and some say it's discussion of the beloved. Garga says it's discussion of the beloved. One of the main symptoms of love is to glorify. Your desire to hear, that is your symptom of devotion. What is this bhakti? What are the symptoms of bhakti? What are the, how do we understand bhakti? Well, someone has anurag puja. They desire to worship. They desire to please. It's not just the worship, but it's the consciousness in which it is done. So that's one definitive symptom of bhakti. That one's vision of the world changes. The illusory conception is I am in the center and things are in relationship to me. That's an illusion. Things are not in relationship to us. Things are in relationship to God. Because we are not the controller and enjoyer. We are in relationship to God. Our dharma is that we are made of God, we are made for God, and so is everything else. Just as the hand is made of the body and made for the body. So in illusory conception, we see things strongly only in relationship to our desire, and we see things separate from God to give us that, it's, in other words, it's not just a sensual experience, material consciousness, it's the desire to control and enjoy and have the sense of superiority and control. So to change that consciousness, we see things now not in relationship to ourselves, but we have the true conception of things. We see things in relationship to God and meant for God's service. And because we are feeling that connection and feeling that love, we intensely desire to use everything for the service of God. That's why when you come in the presence of someone who is very, very pure, we become affected not only by the person, but by the place in which that person stays. Because if that person is Krishna conscious, if that person has prema bhakti, then that person sees, not only sees everything in that room, everything in his presence, everything that he possesses as God's and meant for God's service. That's what's the difference between spirit and matter. Matter is the illusory conception that covers God's energy to give us the sense of control and enjoyment by giving us the sense that something is separate from God. That's maya, not this. That's illusion. So when you come into the environment of a pure soul, everything is radiating with reality. Because everything is intensely used for God's service. And therefore, everything is revealed in its true essence as part of God. So the first theory, and it's not theory, but you have different tastes, different perspectives, that what is devotion? Devotion is anurag puja. The intense desire to use everything, to see everything as God's and to use everything for God. And the deep sense of pleasure in one's heart in doing so. And that's a test of Krishna consciousness. Your test of your spirituality is how you see and relate to the world. Your test of your materiality, I just made up that word, is how you see everything in the world as separate from God and meant for one's pleasure independent of God. This doesn't negate one's needs. Because we are also for God, and we can keep things in relationship to our needs for the service of God, which may vary according to our individual proclivities. And that's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, Kamasya Nindaya Pritir, Labho Jiveta Yabhata. What about us? No problem. Enjoy to live. Don't live to enjoy. Eat to live. Don't live to eat. How much? As much as you need. Very practical philosophy. But even what you take, why jivasya tattva jigyasa? Because you're situated in the consciousness that this particular vehicle that we have is a vehicle for the soul's journey. And we use it for that purpose and not for egotistical or gluttonous purposes. And therefore, as one advances, then naturally one's needs in terms of enjoyment decrease, naturally decrease. But the symptom of bhakti and how one relates to the world, one's taking full shelter. And what is shelter? Shelter is need, to supply our needs. And what is the ultimate need that we have? The ultimate need we have is love, which requires the worthy object of love, which is the divine. So our shelter is to find love. And when you find that love, then automatically your needs and desires reduce. And when you have that shelter, gradually you become indifferent to things that do not support your love. And you approach the Vedic literatures not in terms of fruitive desires or material gain, which is promoted, but you promote it for love. You promote whatever needs you have for love. You promote whatever practices promote or engage or embrace. So it's a whole different perspective when your objective becomes to fill your heart with love rather than to center yourself for enjoyment. We fill our heart for love rather than center ourselves with enjoyment. It's a whole different perspective. And that perspective of having faith and trust in that objective, that this is best achieved in relationship to God, in relationship to the service of God. And when one hears about it in the proper way and does it in the proper way and gets a sense of it in the proper way, one's whole objective and perspective changes. And that's what's being described here in the Bhakti Narada Sutras. That's what you value. You're indifferent to those things that don't support it. And you firmly fix yourself up in the scriptures to support that endeavor. And now he's discussing the various needs of how it manifests. The first is Anurag Puja. We relate to the world in a spirit of devotion and service. It's a completely different consciousness. I remember when I was, you know, I was in Vrindavan for so many years, where the environment is so intensely used for God, for Krishna, that spiritual life becomes easy to a certain extent. If that's your objective, then that's your place. So I remember being back in America, and I just was a bit of a state of shock. And I remember I was going to give a lecture in Manhattan. I was driving over the Brooklyn Bridge. And I realized, because I was in a mood of service, seva bhav, my mood was service, so I was seeing things in relationship to service. I had a distinct, as I was driving over that bridge and I saw the skyline, I saw it as God's energy. In other words, the energy wasn't directed towards me to inspire within me the seeds of control and enjoyment. That's what New York means. It's the mode of passion. We're in New York, why? So we can breathe that air and feel passion. Feel special. But I remember, because I just come from Vrindavan, and I was having that spirit to share Vrindavan, when I looked out at the skyline, I saw an energy. I saw it as God's energy. I saw it as meant for God's service. And then the second, Garga has... Garga says it's for discussion. Really, it manifests, and it's true. When you have that sense of bhakti, love and devotion, and when you want that sense of love and devotion, because bhakti sanjayate bhakti, bhakti causes bhakti. When you want that sense of love, the symptom is hearing. It's an exact correlation. Your love for someone is exactly correlated with the desire to talk about that person and to hear about that person. If anyone's ever had an infatuation, that would be the main symptom of that love and how to increase that love. In Bhagavad Gita, that's how a spiritual society is described. What is the symptom of a society of the Sri Krishna? What is the symptom of a spiritual family? What is the symptom of a spiritual society? What is the symptom of a spiritual relationship? People glorify God. They do kirtan. Kirtan means to glorify, to praise. That's the main symptom of kirtan. What's the essence of kirtan? A good kirtanier is one who's in the mood of service and wants to please the divine by his glorification. Again, it's a complete shift. If someone is up there and he's singing kirtan in an egotistical mood with the objective of increasing people's view of him or her as great for the purpose of controlling people for their one's own enjoyment, it's a whole different name. It's a whole different thing, even though the syllables may be the same. It's bhukti nam. It's the same vibration, but it's bhukti nam. It's nam for material enjoyment, rather than shuddha nam. It's the kirtan for giving pleasure purely. There's nothing in the heart but the mood of service and love. Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, Prabhupada, when he met his guru on Parikram in Vrindavan, he took a few days off from his work, and they were at Seshayi Vishnu temple, or there was a temple. Anyway, it was Koshi, Nanda Maharaj's treasury. When there was time, Bhakti Siddhanta was speaking, when there was time for the Parikram, they announced that and everybody went. Two or three people stayed back. And one was Prabhupada, and his Guru Maharaj Srila Bhakti Siddhanta noted him that he likes to hear. He likes to hear. That was his spiritual qualification. If you're looking for guru, if you're looking for sadhu, if you're looking for sangha, you're looking for someone who likes to hear and chant, which means you are like to hear and chant. The qualification of guru is that he likes to hear and chant. The qualification of desire is that he of the disciple is that he likes to hear and chant. I appreciate the people that come on the Sangha, especially people that are connected to me, because I see they like to hear and chant. I'm pleased. I'm so happy. They like to hear and chant. It's a symptom of devotion. They're serious about devotional service. And bhakti sanjayate bhakti, that's how you advance. Then 18 says, removing blockage of the soul's inner affection. This is what Sandilya said. So I'm trying to understand this, the inner affection. It means that that's the nature of the soul, atma rati, it says here, atma rati. That the rati of the soul, what is the rati of the soul? What is the love, the pleasure, the delight of the soul? The delight of the soul is the service of God. That's the rati of the soul. So it says removing the blockage. What is the blockage? It's aparad, it's offense. Radha means to worship. Aparad means to distance one from worship. So one says it's avoiding offense, basically. Bhakti is not difficult. It's the nature of our soul. What's difficult is to avoid offense. We just avoid offense. The first one is sadhu ninda, criticizing especially those who are dedicated and spiritual. If you just avoid that, simple avoid that, the inner affection of the soul will manifest. So here it says, well, what is this bhakti? Well, Sandila says it's that inner affection of the soul, which will be naturally accessed when you stop offending God and the devotees by neglecting. We know what it is. When we fall into that egoistic, self-centered consciousness, we're going to cause offense. We're not going to be able to respect the holy name. The holy name is going to manifest, we're going to ignore. That's offense. So this is very nice. Basically, what is the spiritual devotion? What is this bhakti? It's the inner affection of the soul which flows naturally for one who is humble and sensitive and mindful. To not let one's ego get in the way of the flow of the energy of the heart to God, and then you feel it, atmaruti. And these verses all, also anurag puja means karmana, it means the works. And speaking and glorifying means gira, the words. And the inner affection means manasa, the sentiment of the mind. But Narada says, giving every endeavor to him and feeling supreme anguish in forgetting him. This is bhakti. Everything. Karmana, manasa, gira. Iha yasya harir dasye. It's this being the mood of servant, gira in your words, manasa in your mind, karmana in your work, and being so much in that mood that you feel anguish in forgetting him. So very nice here. Narada is describing bhakti, and 20 says each of these definitions is correct. Bhakti is thus described in these various ways. Because bhakti is a consciousness which has various manifestations of its expression. How you relate to the world, how you speak, how you feel internally. And ultimately, the sense of separation one feels in any way turning from God or forgetting God. Now, the next verse will say the best example of this are the gopis. And I really apologize because I remember this is where we started off last time. So we probably did the same verses, but I did them in a different way. In a sense, I'm still reeling from the weekend. It was so ecstatic. It was just so wonderful. I mean, at the end of that class, on the last day, was Bhakti and Sacred Space and Story. We had 15 really wonderful, wonderful students. And you saw visibly how the process works. What was 15 hours? 15 hours was absorption in the God, in various ways, by hearing about God, by chanting by God, by serving God. And what you saw is actually how bhakti works. When you, that each object has a different shakti or potency. And acts and objects of devotion have the bhakti shakti, the potency to instill devotion in one's heart. And you saw 15 hours how much the light of the soul becomes reflected in the consciousness of everyone there. And what is the result of it? What was the symptom of it? The desire to chant and glorify God. I remember in the last days of that seminar, I chanted, Shama Gauri Nitya Kishori Pritta Majori Siradhe Vasikarasilo Chaila Chabilo Gunagarabilo. Everyone was absorbed in it. I was thinking, well, will they get absorbed in this? It's a little esoteric, it's a little different. They got absorbed. And when we had kirtan, everyone. It wasn't that I said, stand up. I was just playing the harmonium and singing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everyone dancing and dancing and dancing and dancing. Why? And happy and satisfied. Why? Because the heart becomes filled with devotion. Which is our natural state, which we're covered from by our perception as a rag dipped in water is not affected by the fire. So our consciousness is not affected by the environment of the divine. Only by our attitude against it. Only by our attitude against it. So it was so edifying and felt like I developed really nice relationships with all the students, because that's the culture of love. Guhyamat yachi prichati. They're there to learn. They're serious. So yoga, it's teacher training, and it goes on for hundreds of hours, and they pay a lot of money for that. And they're serious about learning. It's kind of really special people to really want to learn. And they're receptive, and the effect is there. So the exchange is Guhyamat Yachi Prichati, this explaining in confidence, inquiring in confidence. And I always gave prasadam, and we exchanged gifts because I gave people my book, and we gave prasad. So you see how the culture of bhakti works. Anyway, it's not the standard way I will teach this class. The standard way I will teach this class is go by verse, purport, etc. It's just, I don't know. It's kind of, I think of one friend I have. He works so hard, he works so hard, he works so hard. And then for 2 days, 3 days, you think he's really sick. If he has no energy, he can't do anything, but really it's the body shutting off. So I almost felt like my mind shut off because it was so intensely focused. And it's not studying when it's actually teaching. It's extremely focused because there's a desire to illuminate, which takes a very, very fine understanding and expression of knowledge to do so. Okay. Would anybody like to say hello? Thank you for being on and being the voice that revealed to me that there was an audience there. And we'll see you on Sunday.
Yes, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Kumar.
Wow, these are the studies. Thank you so much. Anybody else?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say hello today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who is this?
Henry.
Henry! Thank you. I'm in Henry's house, so I have the phone downstairs. Well, thank you so much. It's great. Having a great time here at Henry's. And just every day, I just came here to relax, but I'm meeting people, and then tomorrow I'm going to speak in the chapel at one... I guess very prestigious school right in the middle of the city. The 250 students I'm going to give the sermon in the church. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. I get the numbers. I know many people are there. We have different proclivities, different levels of phones also. Well, thank you all. Panchakalpa Dhruvya Stakapasindhubhya Vichapati Tanapavani Bhikkhu.